Well, as you can tell from looking at our brother Glenn this morning, the Church of Christ does not have an injured reserve program. You don't get a day off. We don't have any industrial insurance or anything like that. But we do have the promise of a great workers' compensation program. We don't get to enjoy it in this life, but I do know that that is the desire that Glenn has, is to be that worker. And so I'd ask that you give him your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Glenn Orsted.
Well, thank you, Bob, and good morning, everyone. For those that didn't hear and wonder about this, I dislocated my shoulder in a fall the other day, and there's a small fracture that, until I see the orthopedic surgeon tomorrow, I'm not sure whether it's going to heal on its own or what, but it doesn't really hurt, so I'm not in any pain up here, but this sling is kind of warm and uncomfortable, but you know, I'm not in any discomfort, but I will tell you that my physical appearance, standing here with my arm in the sling, is certainly in contrast to the message that I'm going to try to deliver to you this day. So please don't let that take away from that. I frequently, in my sermons, I generally have kind of gotten a habit, whether it's a good one or a bad one, but I've gotten a habit usually trying to put a lot of the scriptures actually written out with the wonders of computers and programs and stuff, putting the scriptures in my notes. Today, because of my arm, I realize plenty of people who have disabilities can quickly flip through and books and stuff with one hand, but I'm kind of new at it. So today, all my scriptures are, in fact, written here in my notes. And most of them are just one or two verses, and so I'll probably get to them and read them before I can find them. So if you're going to get frustrated, I suggest that you not try to follow along other than the one verse I'm going to use for a text. Those that desire to follow, I would like you to start flipping over into Isaiah, because I am going to use a few verses in Isaiah as a text, and I will refer back to it periodically. And I really would encourage everyone to open it up, because there's, I think, actually seeing some of the words is going to be beneficial this morning in our message. And so those that are desiring to follow along, if you found Isaiah, if you would flip over to the 40th chapter. And then once you're in the 40th chapter, start going towards the back. I'm going to start at verse 28 and read through verse 31. And these are familiar. This is a very familiar verse, particularly the last verse. Sometimes it doesn't put in conjunction with the leading verses, but it reads like this. How hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I've entitled my sermon this morning, With the Wings as Eagles. As I said, standing here with my arm in a sling, I'm not a real good physical example of that. But I would like to look at this this text this morning. We've been have started to study Isaiah in our Sunday school class. And those of you who have been in there, we've talked about some of the poetry that Isaiah uses. And if you've kind of retained a lot of that, if you look in those four verses, you will find synonymous, antithetic, emblematic, synthetic, composite, climactic, and introverted parallelism. All seven of those styles are in those four verses. And I have generally found, as I prepared for our study in Isaiah, that oftentimes you will find kind of a focal point where things come together in a chapter with the theme that Isaiah is trying to put, and where a lot of these elements will all be combined. And frequently, those are, in fact, verses that we use a lot and we're very familiar with, because the natural poetry of Isaiah seems to draw us to them, even if we don't recognize what they are. And so there's all seven elements in here. And so I would suggest, if you're planning on being in our Sunday school class, that you can kind of write this down or make it a note, because in about 2 years when we actually get to this verse, I expect you to remember it. Actually, I hope that by the time we get there that you can recognize a lot of these things here. But it's synonymous. I mean, there's an idea that's kind of repeated with different elements. You know, with wings of eagles, they can run and not be weary. They can walk and not faint. This idea of repeating, this idea of strength that we can get from the Lord. It's antithetic. There's a contrast. It shows that those that don't have that, it starts off that even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. It's this contrast between people that don't have the strength of the Lord. They will grow tired, they're fatigued. And there's a contrast with what those that wait upon the Lord will have. It's emblematic that there's a comparison where it says they'll mount up with the wings of eagles. He's trying to draw this comparison and make this allusion to something else to help us to understand it. It's synthetic because it starts with a question that it's going to answer. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard about this? So it starts with a question that he's trying to answer. It's composite, that it gives a list of examples that fit it. It's climactic because it develops a theme. It's building up to something, the message that's going to come in that last verse. And it's introverted. In other words, chiasms, which we talk about a lot. If you look there, it starts at the beginning. It's actually almost a double chiasm, but I'm not going to get into that because it starts with faint and then weary and power and strength. In the middle, it kind of redoes them, and then it follows through in reverse order with strength and then weary and then faint. And so there's a chiasm in there. Because this is in this chapter, this is what Isaiah is trying to point to, the theme. And that's what I'd like to focus upon this morning. You know, in Scripture, God has often likened His people to many things. Throughout the Scripture, they're described as being like the branches of a vine, trees by a river, a light on a hill, sheep, salt, a racer in a race, a wrestler, a soldier. And our text here, as Isaiah implies, an eagle. And this morning, we're going to focus our attention on some facts that I've gathered about the eagle's way of life. And hopefully with them, I believe that we can discover some spiritual truths about ourselves to aid us in becoming what I'm going to refer to this day as Christian eagles. And this example that Isaiah has put here before us. And I'd like to start with the idea that there's, as I said, there's any number of things that we can find believers compared to in the Scripture. And there's any number of birds that could have been used as an example. And I think it's of particular importance why an eagle was chosen in this verse that we find contained here in Isaiah. Now, as I went through the Scriptures, I didn't find any examples of believers being compared to chickens. And that may sound kind of strange, but if you really stop and think, most of mankind, without Jesus Christ as their Savior and the Holy Spirit in their life, are really a lot more like chickens than they are eagles. You know, here in Phoenix, I haven't had a whole lot of experience with chickens recently, but when I was young, my parents, I started to grow up in a kind of rural area in northern Indiana, and we had some chickens and various things, and our neighbors did, so I did have some experience with observing them. And what I did notice is, you know, the chickens are crowd followers. If a chicken sees a bunch of other chickens running across some chicken yards, he runs over to be a part of it. He takes off after them. He doesn't know where they're going. He doesn't know why they're going there. But he follows along because he doesn't want to miss out on anything that the majority's doing. I noticed that chickens, they just naturally, they're always squabbling and fighting over something. The chicken yard, they're always out there, some disturbance over something. If one finds a nice big old juicy bug to eat, suddenly they all want it. They'll chase each other all over the chicken yard trying to take it from one another and fighting over it. A whole bunch of them can walk around all day long and bypass this big bug or this grasshopper and none of them see it until all of a sudden one decides he wants it and then all of a sudden they all want it. And the fight's on. They really have no interest in soaring to great heights. They're content to live in the chicken yard, walking around with their eyes primarily on the ground, scratching in the dirt, looking for something to eat. Most of them will never try to fly. If they do, it's usually only for short distances and not great heights. You know, they're primarily earthbound birds, scratching in the dirt to find something to eat. And so I think you can probably see why I'm convinced that living the life of a chicken can't be compared to living the life of an eagle. You know, chicken living, if you will, is limited. It's confining, it's predictable, it's boring. However, the life of an eagle, that's a completely different story. When we hear about the word of eagle, you know, our minds envision this eagle soaring in the atmosphere, effortlessly riding on these wind currents, sailing high above the earth, you know, majestic in appearance, powerful. He's the king of the sky, master of his domain, you know, with the keenness of an eye from great distances. They can see, you know, small prey. They can see fish under the water, small game running through the brush, and swoop down with incredible speed, with sharp, strong talons, snatch its meal, and carry it back to its nest for its feast. Now, there's something special about the eagle, and there always has been. For centuries, you know, it's been recognized by nations, kingdoms, empires as the king of birds. Its image has been reproduced on coins, seals, emblems, flags. And God in his word here tells us that of all the birds in the air, it is the eagle that his people are called to be identified with. Here in Isaiah, I believe he's calling us to be his spiritual eagles. And so with this in mind, I would like to share some eagle facts that I've researched a little bit, and I recently saw a documentary about some eagles. And let us think of ourselves as being the eagles, the little baby eagles in the nest of God, our Heavenly Father, as the Father Eagle. And realize that he desires to accomplish in our lives what a lot of eagle parents are trying to accomplish in their offspring's lives. I found it interesting to note that things as we as society have really struggled with, the eagles mate for life. Till death do they part. If one of them becomes injured or sick, the other will stand around it, protect it, find food, and feed the other. Both parents take turns sitting on the eggs, keeping them warm. They both take turns guarding the nest. They both take turns bringing food to the young and training the young. To the eagle, raising a family is a responsibility that belongs to both parents. You know, a description of a newborn eagle is almost describing a newborn Christian, someone young in the faith. Unlike many other birds, it's born with its eyes and its mouth wide open. It sort of looks like this little mouth that's been attached to this bunch of fuzzy feathers, you know, this big old mouth and all this little fuzz around it. And the parents are kept busy keeping that mouth filled because, you know, they have a huge appetite. They have an insatiable desire to be fed, to receive. The eaglet knows very quickly that when its mouth's open, mom and dad eagle are going to fill it with good things, things that are going to feed and fulfill those needs that it has. Now, God, our Heavenly Father, like the parent eagle, is like those eagle parents with his own little eaglets. You know, God tells his little eaglets in Psalms 81:10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. A promise that he would sustain and give those things were necessary for life. And just as a mother and father eagle know what a baby eagle needs to grow, how much more does our Heavenly Father know what his little eaglets need to grow on? You know, in Matthew 7:11, it tells us this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? It's interesting to note that the word eagle actually means one feeding with the beak. And what a wonderful typology, and we've talked about that in Sunday school as a type that indicates, what a wonderful typology of God who feeds his own with the words from his mouth. Just as the natural eaglets depend upon and live on the food that they receive from their parents' mouth, so likewise God's eaglets depend and live on the food that comes from his mouth. In Matthew 4:4, it's expressed like this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our Heavenly Father is that parent eagle, that father eagle who feeds his eaglets from the food from the heavenly menu. In the world of eagles, it's a fact that the food that will sustain them is very specific. Anything else that takes the place of it won't sustain them. If they're fed properly, they grow, they mature, and they become strong. But without the proper diet, they quickly grow weak and sickly, and they eventually die. And in the spiritual application of us as God's little eaglets, we are each to feast on God's specific food if we're going to become strong and mature. You know, anything else, and we too begin to grow sick and weakly. We die spiritually. You know, we must have the eagle diets of God's Word. In Isaiah 55:2, it asks this question, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Or in my example here, which is not the diet of an eagle. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But sometimes, you know, as God's little eaglets here, we don't practice the serious eating of the Word of God. We can become very, you know, picky about our food, that which we really want to take. I know individuals, I'm not necessarily think of anyone here, I mean co-workers, and but there's probably some that we might think that are closer in our relationships, but, you know, I know individuals that kind of have their own revised version of the Bible. It's comprised of their own little favorite verses that contain, you know, very positive confessions, positive promises, and it's void of any verses that confront, condemn, or challenge their private theology. An issue that comes up, they have all these verses that they think support what they're doing, but you bring upon other verses that, you know, cause them to have to think or make some analysis that maybe is a little bit different, and suddenly there's a conflict. The ones I know like this have never really grown and matured in their Christian walk. You know, they're still like infants. They're like diaper Christians. They refuse to be weaned from the milk of the Word. And although some of them may have been 30, 40, or 50 years in their Christian walk, the meat of the Word chokes them. I believe that's what I was referring to in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3, where it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you yet now ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now I'm a parent, I have children. And I like many here, you know, I love babies. And they're beautiful, they're fun. I enjoy raising them. I enjoy being a parent. You know, I love toddlers. You know, it's great watching them start to, you know, crawl around, explore the world around them, and everything's new and wonderful. I think we all enjoy that time of our lives. As I look out, you know, I see infants and toddlers and ones that are growing into young adults. There's nothing wrong with being a child, but nobody thinks it's cute when a person remains a baby for too long. You know, if a child never learns how to walk or talk, never figures out how to feed itself, never outgrows the needs for diapers, there's a sign that something is terribly wrong. If your baby would stop growing to maturity, you would call it a tragedy. If you had a teenager that was so immature, it'd act like a 5-year-old. You'd probably be in the phone book looking for some professional help. So why is this? Because although we love babies, we expect them to eventually grow up. And God is no different. He doesn't want any of His children to remain baby-like forever. He wants His children to grow up. So let me take you back to this example of this newborn little eaglet, this little eagle there. You know, eagles are born into a pretty good life. When they're first hatched, they find themselves that they're in a nest that the parent eagles have built in some high rocky crevice and a cliff, some high altitude where they're safe from any predators. They've lined the nest with nice soft materials. It's very soft. It's warm. They snuggle in there under their parents' protective wings, and every move of theirs is watched. Every need of theirs is supplied. You know, Psalms 91, verses 1 and 4 describes a scene like this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And so to this young eaglet, life in the nest is pretty wonderful. Its mouth opens and is filled at its request. The nest is cozy, it's warm, it's comfortable. They're probably thinking, you know, this is the life. Now I could stay here forever. But there is something important that each young eaglet is soon going to discover, and that is that eagles were born to fly. They're meant to soar to the heavenly heights. They're meant to breathe the heavenly atmosphere. It's inherent in them. Their very nature demands it. It's been placed there by God. The eagle tendency is to mount up on its wings, like Isaiah talked about. Now, I once saw this television show where they'd captured an eagle, and I don't remember the reason. I think it was injured or hurt. I mean, they're actually trying to help it, but they're trying to contain this eagle. And it had been confined in this cage. I mean, it's not a real little cage or big birds, but compared to, you know, the space that he wanted, it's pretty confining. And you could tell by his actions, you know, he wasn't happy being in there. Time and time again, he'd fiercely flap his wings. He'd throw himself at the side of the cage. You know, he'd bang against it, and there'd be feathers flying as they're trying to get him subdued. I think they're actually trying to get him sedated for whatever the reason it was. But he continued to struggle and to fight to get out of that confinement. He'd slam against the cage and fall back for a moment, stunned, and he'd look up into the sky. I mean, I remember seeing that, you know, he'd look up. He didn't ever look at the ground. He was always looking up into the sky. His eyes were scanning above and saying, you know, I don't belong down here. Up there is where I belong. Deep down inside him was this urge to mount up on his wings and soar to the heights above. The sky was beckoning to him. And even in his injured condition, he had a desire to do everything he could to return to that. But he couldn't. He wanted to do what eagles were meant to do. He knew that he was not meant to be earthbound, but to soar in the sky. And so, as it is with earthly angels, so it is with God's spiritual eagles. We too were made to experience heavenly heights in the Spirit, to spread our wings of faith and ride the heavenly winds of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's inherent within us. Our new nature as believers demands it. It's placed within us by God, our Heavenly Father, with the placing of the Holy Spirit in there. As the little eaglets of God, there's an inborn tendency in us to mount up and to soar to spiritual levels that we've never experienced before. To no longer be bound by this earth and the restrictions of it. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of earth." Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus." Have you spiritually soared lately? That's what eagles do, and that's what God's calling His believers to do, to be His spiritual eagles. You know, it's true that both chickens and eagles are birds. But a chicken is primarily an earthbound creature. You know, it can flop around, it can fly a little, but its interest is still on the ground. But that's not true of an eagle. I'd like to put a little story in here because I'm going to use to make a point here in a few minutes. This is a story of a farmer who, while walking one day, found an eagle egg. He took it to his hen house and he placed it under a sitting hen there who had several eggs under her. In time, all the eggs hatched. And out of the shell of that eagle came, to her way of thinking, the oddest looking chicken she had ever seen with the oddest voice she had ever heard. When the other chicks chirped, this one would screech. When the mother hen clucked, all but this ugly one would come running. There simply seemed to be no understanding between them. They spoke two different languages. So because he was odd, all the others picked and pecked at him. And of course he was odd. He was an eagle. who's trying to live the life of a chicken. One day while he was in the barnyard, this huge shadow passed over him. It was a father eagle soaring high above. This parent eagle looked down and saw the little eaglet. Seeing that it was one of his own kind, the father eagle swooped down, giving a loud screech. The young eaglet looked up. The father eagle said to the eaglet, "What are you doing down there? You're not a chicken, you're an eagle. Eagles aren't made for barnyard living. The heavens are your domain. Come up here." Now the little fellow wondered what to do. Up till now, the barnyard had been home to him, but he hadn't really been happy there. He just didn't seem to fit in with barnyard living. And all of a sudden, the truth of who he was hit him. He discovered his true identity. The father eagle had given it to him. He wasn't a chicken, he was an eagle. Down deep inside him, he felt the urge to respond to the father eagle, but when he tried, he couldn't seem to get off the ground. The father eagle screeched again, "Just make a jump and flap your wings. You can fly if you try." The little eaglet made a feeble jump, flapped his wings, and landed on the top of a barnyard fence post. The father eagle screeched again, "Child, jump higher, try again. Make the jump and I'll sweep under you and carry you on my wings." The little eaglet did what the father eagle asked him to do. And the father eagle did what he said he would do. A mighty jump of faith, and the little eaglet was riding on the father eagle's wings on his first solo flight into the heavenly realm. As the saints of God, we're called to be God's eagle Christians. You know, but many have been content to live the chicken life, confined to the barnyard limitation in their spirits. You know, and I say that the barnyard to the believer is any attitude, any mindset, any lifestyle that restricts us from being or accomplishing all that God has purposed for us to be or to do in our life. Our barnyard is that comfort zone that we like to live in because it makes no demands for us that will challenge us to change or to reach out for something greater. God the Father Eagle calls to us in our barnyard and challenges us to spread our wings of faith and to come up higher. Some respond and get as high as that barnyard fence of that little eaglet and settle there thinking that they've really accomplished something. You know, they've come up out of the yard and they're on the fence. But God's calling and asking out to make another jump of faith and to set their wings in the promises of God's Word and let the winds of the Holy Spirit lift them up to where they've been called to be. I'd like to share with you a little bit about the way parent eagles train their young, particularly in how they teach them to fly. You know, the mother eagle watches the eaglets in the nest to make sure that they're fully feathered. And when she thinks they've matured sufficiently, she begins to what they call stir the nest. With her strong beak, she'll start tearing out everything in the nest that makes it soft and cozy for her young. She removes all the padding of rabbit fur and animal skins and makes the nest so uncomfortable and miserable, her little ones don't want to stay in the nest any longer. She then begins the process of helping them develop strength in their wings. She hovers near the nest and begins flapping her wings furiously. As they watch her do this, the little eaglets begin to imitate the mother by flapping their wings also. They seem to know that this is what they're supposed to do. Just before she takes her eaglets out on their first solo flight, she will perch on the edge of the nest over her young and inspect them, noticing and looking to see if they have any loose feathers sticking out all over them, because she knows that these loose feathers must first be removed if the little eagles are ever to try to fly. So she begins to beat her wings, causing this mighty blast of wind to blow upon these little eaglets. And soon all the loose feathers have been blown from them and they're ready for their flying lesson. Now, before I continue, I'd like to pause for a moment and ask you a personal question. Are you identifying with these little eaglets' stirring of the nest experience? Lately, have you found yourself experiencing discomforts of the stirring of your nest? Is there an awareness that something isn't right, but you're not sure what it is? Is your comfort zone being threatened? And are you a person who doesn't like change? Are you uncomfortable and worried about it? Have you considered that just maybe it's God stirring your nest? That is his way of telling you you've stayed in the nest too long, that he doesn't want his eaglets to be nest dwellers all their life. It's too confining, it's too limited, it's too unproductive. God doesn't want his spiritual eagles to be nest sitters. They are meant to fly. Sometimes God has to tear up our nest to get us into the air. Have you experienced the strong winds of the Holy Spirit's convicting power blowing in your life recently? Has God been dealing with you about maybe the loose feathers in your life, the things that have been holding you back from soaring to heavenly heights? Has he been speaking to you about things in your life that affect your spirituality and drags you down, that keeps you in your nest? Things that you know you should be taking action on, but maybe are neglecting to do. God says, look up and be encouraged. That your heavenly Father, the Father Eagle, working in your life to help you get rid of those loose feathers. He's getting you ready to mount up with your eagle wings. He wants you to quit fluttering around in the nest and to learn how to spread your wings of faith and fly. If we turn back to our story of these young eaglets learning to fly, when the mother eagle sees that these loose feathers are all blown away, she then spreads her wings out and gives forth a certain scream. And somehow the little eaglets know that it's a command for them to step out on one of the mother's wings and firmly secure itself with its talons, and then with its beak take hold of one of those big, strong feathers. In some cases, I've seen, you know, that they say that the mother eagle actually just pushes them out of the nest, but this one documentary is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. These little eagles came out and took hold of the feathers on this mother eagle. And once she's sure they have a good, firm grasp on her, she lets out another scream and launches off the edge into the nest, into space, and she begins to fly and ascend with this little eagle holding on for dear life. You know, something this little eagle has never experienced anything like this before. He's going places he's never gone before. He's seeing things he's never seen before, and it's thrilling. But just as he's having the time of life, the mother eagle suddenly flutters her wings, shakes him loose from her wing right in the middle of air, hundreds of feet above the ground, and it's solo flight time. Now, when this mother eagle shakes the little one loose, she doesn't say, well, you're on your own now, see you around and fly away. No. She begins slowly to circle around the surprised little eaglet, keeping a concerned and watchful eye on him as he flounders and flutters, trying to fly for the first time. He's there furiously flapping his wings. He turns, he somersaults, he does everything he can to try and stay aloft, but slowly he starts to lose altitude. When the mother eagle sees her little one get dangerously close to the ground, she swiftly swoops down and snares him with those same strong talon claws that she grabs prey with, gently grabs hold of him, and carries him up to the great height of the nest and starts the process all over again. And each day she continues to repeat this until finally the little eaglet's wings have become strong enough and he's developed the skills to stay aloft and ride the air currents, soaring as effortlessly as his parents have done. Now I want to point out several spiritual truths that are suggested to us by this training, this flight training process of the eagle. A spiritual truth is found in the mother eagle spreading her wings, commanding her eaglets to step out on them and firmly grasp a feather in their beak. The two wings of the parent eagle can be likened to the Word of God. Both the Holy Bible and the Book of Mormon, the individual feathers can be thought of as the individual promises found in the Word of God. As our Heavenly Father, the Father Eagle, spreads His Word before us and commands us to step out upon it and grasp firmly hold of His promises. And just as that little eagle experienced an unexpected shaking that caused him to lose hold of his mother eagle's feather, even so, oftentimes, God's young little eaglets may experience a shaking of faith in their life that may cause them to lose their hold on the promise of God that they've been clinging to. But the promise is, don't despair and don't get frustrated. Don't throw up your hands and quit. This can happen when you're in the process of training to be a spiritual eagle of flight, a believer and a saint of God. Just as the parent eagle watches over her little ones to make sure that they don't fall to the ground when they lose hold of the feathers during flight training, even so God the Father watches over His own to keep them from falling to the ground when they lose hold of the promises of God while in training to soar to greater spiritual heights. He lifts them up to try again. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, it says this, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, then taketh them back and beareth them on her wings." Just as the parent eagle continues to work with their young until they are fully trained, even so our Heavenly Father continues to work with His young. In Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He will follow it through to completion. That's what it's saying. He started something and He's going to follow it through to the end. God doesn't want us to settle for the barnyard. He's determined that, as Isaiah said, we mount up with the wings as an eagle. I'd like to go back, and I'm going to reread that last verse there for a moment. Having heard the thoughts and the comments I've just put forth, and read this. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I'm going to close this morning with a poem. I'd like you to think about those words in Isaiah and the picture that he's tried to draw. I'd like you to think about the examples that I've tried to draw in the analogy. It's like a type that I've tried to put before you, like Isaiah and many of the prophets use so eloquently, and some of the pictures that they try to use. I've tried in my own feeble way to add to that, to get this picture in your mind. So I'd like you to think about those words of Isaiah. I'd like you to think of the examples that I've given you. And as I read this poem, I would like you to put yourself in the place of this little eaglet. And in this poem, I like when I read his questions, his concerns, see if they're not questions and concerns that you've had in your own life. And in this poem, when the parent eagle responds, I'd like you to see if, in fact, there's not the very same thing that you've heard the Holy Spirit trying to tell you in your life, calling you up to mount up with the wings of eagles. I'm going to close this morning with a poem by Bill Harvey. It's called "Eagle Free." An eaglet in its downy nest surveyed the scene below and asked with animated zest, "O mother, I would know, will I someday begin to fly as high and far as you?" The answer came, "Of course you'll fly, for that's what eagles do. High born you are, and high you'll stay, and higher still you'll go, and never know an earthbound day, nor crawling to and fro. Now dashing down, now soaring high, now floating on the air, now flying where you will to fly, now free to do and dare. I'll take the down from out of the nest and let the thorns protrude. I'll let the thorns disturb your rest and halt your nesting mood. Then soon you'll climb upon the edge and stretch your pinions out. You'll totter on the eerie ledge and ponder space in doubt. Then with a wing I'll knock you off to flounder, flap, and fly. And with a swoop I'll pick you up and never mind your cry. I'll put you on the perch again, then knock you off the nest to see if you will stand the strain and stand the acid test. I'll give you the opportunity to prove that you can fly, and then a final chance to see if you will fly or die. I'd rather rugged, jagged rocks would claim you as their own than bear the taunts and jeers and mocks that say you've never flown. But fly you must, and fly you will, and conquer gravity, and know the zephyr's golden thrill, and fly for all to see. My eagle child, this word I give, keep looking to the sky, for though an eagle flies to live, an eagle lives to fly."